In the beginning, when Christ came with the parables, he ushered in a real revolution of the time. Now, we're used to revolutionaries like Pancho Villa, who came out of the desert of northern Mexico and ushered in a Mexican revolution. We're familiar with those kind of revolutionaries. But when Jesus came, Jesus came in ushering a revolution of the nature of the kingdom of God. There would be a whole new order of things, and it would no longer be appropriate. And as he came in, ushering in this new kingdom, and he began to describe the nature of the kingdom, one of the first things he described was that it would be different and that the old structures would no longer be able to hold the new that was coming in by the Spirit. They had been accustomed to the temple and to the priesthood and to all those things as the norms and the forms of their religion. And Jesus would talk about a kingdom that was spiritual in nature, a kingdom in which everyone had access to God behind the Holy of Holies in that inner sanctum, a kingdom in which all members were part of the royal priesthood. And so as he began to do that, he described it in terms of old patches on new garments and new wine into old wineskins. And really the gist of that is that these things are not appropriate things to do. You don't pour new wine into an old wineskin. You don't match old and new cloths together on a garment because they'll tear. And it's not an appropriate thing to do. And everyone understood that. And so Jesus began to teach about the nature of the kingdom. Now, we've started here looking at the old and new wineskins and the shrunk and unshrunk cloth. But what I really want to do tonight is I want to move on over and look at another one of the kingdoms that's very similar to the one that Sean began with last week. He talked about seed, and I want us to move from this over to another familiar seed parable. So open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew 13. And while you're turning, I just want to say one word by way of compliment to this group sitting down here on these first couple of rows. These young people gathered together after second service and had pizza, and then they went out and they caroled in three of the nursing home facilities right around our building here and blessed the lives of people who are shut in and don't often get to hear young voices and see young faces. And what a blessing that was. And I just say thank you on behalf of this congregation, all of you who did that today, for blessing the lives of many of those who are shut in like that. We've got a great group that we're very proud of. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus begins to use agricultural descriptions of this new revolutionary kingdom that's coming in. And he describes it in terms that can be understood. We've all done those experiments. I suppose they still do them in school with seeds where you put a seed in a jar and have wet paper in there, and you can see how the stalk goes up and the root goes down, and if you turn the jar sideways, that it'll change and still know which way's up and which way's down. I've planted a vegetable garden. I know some of you've done that. I grew up on a farm, and I know how cottonseed sprouts in the field and how it grows. And what a marvelous illustration that Jesus used in a society that was very familiar with all of these things. A seed is a marvelous repository of life. Read with me, if you will, in Matthew chapter 13, the first 9 verses. That same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on a good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, Jesus will go on and explain, because this is one of two recorded parables in Scripture where Jesus offers the explanation. That makes it very easy for us. There's no chance of misinterpreting his words, because his disciples come to him and say, "What did you mean by that?" And then Jesus tells them what he meant by that. And so let's go ahead and just read the explanation so we can be crystal clear as to the meaning of this parable. In verse 18, he explains it to them. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown." Now, we learn in this, he's not talking about agriculture at all. He's not really talking about seed or soil at all. He's really talking about you and I and about our hearts and the condition of our hearts when the Word of God is sown in our hearts. So he's talking about four different kinds of people, or four different kinds of hearts in this parable. Now, this is designed to help us today, I believe, do what those people on that first hearing were called upon to do. As those who heard Jesus tell this parable for the first time, they were all forced to make a decision about which kind of heart they had. And so tonight I want to do the same thing for us. I want us to conduct personal, spiritual EKGs. And I want you, by the end of this sermon, to be able to say to yourself — you don't have to tell anyone else — say to yourself, which of the four categories describes your heart most accurately? Let's back up and go through them, and I want you to carefully consider your situation. Some fell along the path. The word is preached in verse 19. He explains it. He says, "When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path." As Jesus taught this parable, there were fields all around. They were crisscrossed with paths giving them access into the fields. And they had probably walked down one of those packed paths in order to hear the words Jesus spoke. So they knew about that. When seed falls upon that hard packed soil, it does not penetrate the soil. And Jesus will describe it, the birds, and he'll say that the birds represent Satan. They come along and they'll take those seeds away. This is a heart that is closed to the reception of the Word of God. These are the people whose eyes glaze over any time the conversation goes towards spiritual things. They're not interested in talking about the Lord. They're not interested in talking about the Bible. They're not interested in talking about the church. They've got better things to do with their time, other things in which they're interested. They just don't care about that. Now, Satan knows how powerful the Word of God is. And so if a person has that initial response, Satan will go as quickly as possible to take that word away, lest it somehow penetrate into the cracks of that hard heart. I remember as a boy, when we were out planting behind the tractor, the birds would come and try to pick up the seeds behind the tractor as soon as it was in the ground. Satan follows along anyone who is sowing the word, and he'll try to take that word away quickly. Now, before you quickly say, "Well, I'm not in that category because I'm a Christian and I'm here at church even on a Sunday night," before you draw that assessment of your heart, did you know that it's possible for part of your heart to be damaged and unresponsive without necessarily your whole heart being hardened? There are Christians who are open for a period of time, and they grow, and yet in some areas they refuse to grow. The word does not ever penetrate into that portion of their heart. Did you know that a heart that is allowed to remain hardened in one area can cause damage to the entire organ eventually? And so we need to ask ourselves this question. Are there areas in your life in which you are calloused, in which you are hardened, in which you have never allowed the Word of God to penetrate in some area? Do any of you harbor a grudge that as long as you've been a Christian, you have not ever let go of? You've never allowed God to penetrate in that area. Have any of you ever harbored a prejudice that you're unwilling to relinquish, and your heart remains hard in that area? Is there any area of your life where you could say, well, I know what the Bible says, but, and then you give your own excuse or reason why you have not made the necessary changes in your life? The Hebrew writer warns, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So let's ask ourselves and do a self-diagnosis in that area. Are there areas in which your heart has remained hard? Now, the second area that he talks about, some fell on the rocky places where it did not have much soil. Now, he'll explain that in verses 20 and 21. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. Now, this is talking about shallow soil. There were places in the west of Ireland where we lived at one time, and it's called the Burren. And the Burren is barren because it is just rock layer, and only a very shallow bit of soil lies on top of these massive rock shelves. In some places, it's so windswept that the rock is exposed. Other places, it's only an inch or two deep, and plants will begin to grow there. But in the summertime, everything dies on the Burren because it is such a shallow soil and such a rocky, exposed outcropping. He is using this description of Christians who start out joyfully, but they have no root. They're the kind of folks we would call flash in the pan. They're impulsive. They respond initially to Jesus with great joy, but there's no stickability to them. All it takes is a little bit of trouble or a little bit of persecution, and those people are gone. And you wonder, well, whatever happened to them? You know, they were just baptized, you know, 3 months ago, and now I don't see them anymore. What's happened with those individuals? Now, again, before you say, oh, well, I'm still around, and it's been years since I became a Christian, before you remove yourself from this category, remember the tendency is there for all of us to respond this way. Those who start and never finish. And let me just remind you, this is the time of year when we're shortly going to be making New Year's resolutions. And I just want to ask, how many of you, don't put your hands up, but how many of you made a resolve last January that you were going to spend time in the Word all year long? You were going to read your Bible through, or you were going to follow a reading plan. And you start out hot and you end up cold. And this can happen in many areas of our spiritual life. Those who don't send down deep roots and grow like they should. The Hebrew writer addresses this very issue with a group of Christians who had never sent down roots deep through regular time in the Word and regular time in prayer. And listen to what he says. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you're slow to learn. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance. And he goes on, unless all those things that are infant-type classes and courses. And so the question for us is have we simply not grown in areas of our own Christian life? Now, the third category, other seed, fell among the thorns which grew up and choked the plants. He explains that in verse 22. There it says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. These are not hard-hearted people. They receive the word. They're not shallow people. They've allowed their roots to grow deep. They have spent time in the Word. They've come to some level of maturity. But eventually, they still fall away. This is the picture of the Christian who gets caught up in the snares of Satan. Caught up in the concerns of this world and the temptations of this world. Through a busy career, they're slowly, over time, pulled away from their commitment to Christ. And over time, their devotion is transferred from Jesus Christ and His church to making more money and having greater things in life. And soon, they're caught up in all these things. Hobbies, everything that the world has to offer that take increasingly larger shares of our spiritual life. And it carves away at us until the worldly pursuits crowd out spiritual things. And we've all seen people that have made those kinds of decisions. They've started out, they've grown. I know people, and you do too, who were even leaders in the church. People that you knew or thought you knew you could depend on, who for one reason or another have been caught up and been choked out spiritually, and they're no longer around. And then lastly, he mentions the category, still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown. And he explains that down in verse 23. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. He hears, he understands, he grows, and he produces. It's in this individual that you see the fruit of the Spirit born out in that individual's life. And Jesus talked about the return. You know what the return is on an average crop when you plant a seed? Some of you farmers may know this. The return, well, it depends on the crop as well, but on average, a sevenfold return is considered a very profitable return on seed planted in the ground. God makes us incredibly fruitful in His field, if we'll allow Him to do that. Now, let me ask you, as you've gone through this, do you see where you are? Before you make your final self-diagnosis, let me just mention a few more things to help you refine your personal EKG here. One of the things and one of the lessons that we learn, and these are just side issues that are side lessons that we can learn, when we are involved in kingdom growth, we need to be very careful about how we sow our seed, and that we need to be certain that we sow our seed indiscriminately. Jesus talked about four different kinds of hearts. And you're not always able to tell by looking at the soil which is which. Now, the path is fairly obvious, and you can tell if someone initially rejects the word, but the other soils all look the same initially. You can't tell whether it's going to encounter a rock just below the surface. You can't tell whether weeds are going to grow up or whether it's going to be the fruitful crop that comes up. I remember several years ago, before we were here in Springfield, there were two young men that I had studied the Bible with. And one of those young men was so sensitive to the Word of God and so responsive to the Word of God. And I thought, this guy is going to be a tremendous asset to the Lord. His buddy that he brought along was a goofball. And he just, you know, didn't really seem to ever get his act together. Both of them were baptized. And over time, I was proved entirely wrong. The one that I thought was going to be a great leader in the church, he's the one that turned out to just drift off into nowhere. The one that seemed totally disinterested in many ways was the one who over the long haul did put roots down and has become a great leader in the church today. You can't tell by observation what the condition of the heart is. Our job is to sow indiscriminately. So we share the word with people that we think might be interested and people that we think are not interested at all. Secondly, the nature of the kingdom is that it's a mixed bag. Don't grow discouraged if some of those that you talk to and pray for and try to encourage over time don't respond in the way that you had hoped that they would. In fact, you should expect that to be the case. I think sometimes we think, well, I must be doing something wrong. No, I don't think it's that you're doing something wrong. Jesus himself got mixed results from his teaching and his preaching. He lost one of his 12 that he had hand-selected. So keep on sowing the seed. And then thirdly, the troubles and the trials and the persecutions are really a good thing when it comes to the kingdom because they weed out those who are false in their motives and at the same time strengthen true believers in their resolve to follow God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, Peter wrote, "And the grace of God, and the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little, will himself restore you and make you strong and firm and steadfast." So there are advantages to persecution at times. Okay, the final diagnosis, the poet has said, "To thine own self be true." And so I want you to answer the question personally, where are you? Which of the four can you most fairly and accurately and truthfully place yourself in? Which of those categories? Now, let me tell you the good news. The good news is that hard soil can be broken up. Hard soil can be watered and fertilized and made into good, productive soil. Shallow soil can be deepened. You can dig those rocks out. If you live in the Ozarks, you know that. You can dig out the rocks and you can cultivate better beds for your plants. Thorny soil can be weeded and rooted out and cleaned out. Change is always possible in the kingdom. And that's going to be one of the other truths that Jesus will emphasize is that God has the power to change the human heart. It's never too late to begin doing the right thing. God can take your life and make it count for far more than you could ever imagine. 30, 60, or 100 fold. And so tonight, I just want us to leave here with an honest assessment and more than that, a determination to allow God to change us into fruitful Christians in the days ahead. If there's anything we can do tonight to assist you either in your initial obedience or in your continuing walk with Christ, we will be glad to do that. If you need to come, we invite you as we stand and sing.